Amen. Father, we receive your word. As we receive your word, we receive healing and health to our bodies and for others. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right. Now we'll be looking at faith and healing. Go back to Exodus 15, verse 26. It says, now the B part, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. We explained that last week. For I, the Lord, that healeth thee, which is I am the healer, or I am your healer. And obviously, he is a healing God. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
The word is Rapha, which is used for physicians, what we call doctors. In ancient Greek practice, that's somebody who is a specialist, who doesn't have a specialization. He treats all sicknesses. So he is called a physician. So one of the ways God wants to be seen is a doctor. He wants to be seen as a doctor, not a doctor of regular medicine, but a doctor supernaturally. So he actually wants us to see him as a doctor. Many times, the reason is why people go to doctors is because they believe doctors have a solution to sicknesses and diseases in their bodies. So he says, I am the physician. And he now uses the word thee in the Hebrew, which means I am your physician. Hallelujah. Say, God is my physician. He is my healer. So that means your personal physician is the Lord God himself. And nobody knows your body like the one who made it. Amen. Hallelujah. So he is a... Notice, you see, you won't find any of his names in the Old Covenant. When he says, I am the Lord, you won't find him, I am a killer. He is a healer and not a killer. Look at Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. We saw that last week. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases. Hallelujah. Notice the word benefits. We said is the word semul in the Hebrew, which means a takeaway. Something you take away from God. Something that he serves when you see him. So he serves healing. He doesn't serve sickness. Neither does he serve diseases. Now, quickly, let's look at something. How does she know? Is there nothing if you say somebody is a healer? Or let me put it like this. You know, there are people that are known for being generous. There was a fellow like that in my secondary school. I nicknamed him. His name should be Ario. He's always everybody's friend during the first week of the term. You know the term called sponsor. You know about sponsor? So he will go to the battery and he will sponsor just about everybody. First week. He's definitely boarding house, which is called the week of grace. So I think it just flows, you know. And you will buy and buy and buy and buy. There was a guy then who was called Ete. Ete used to sell, what do you call this thing? Forgotten me, actually. So this guy will stay there and you practically just speak your own. But after 1 week, And this happened for many times. You just see him under the tree in the hockey pitch then in Gomez College. And he's looking like he was like the madman in Gathera, and like, because during that first week, I said, me, Lord, me, I don't know. The thing was like jazz. He would spend the money. So I just renamed him and I started calling him Pneumonia. I gave many people nicknames in my secondary school. I gave Pneumonia. You are Pneumonia. This can't be a billionaire. After 1 week, I would eat out of it too. You know. But so that means, I mean, as giving as he wanted to be, he couldn't sustain it. There are some people that are able to do something, but they can't sustain it. You can't always count on them. You know, some people can say, yeah, you need money for your business. Ah, there's one uncle of mine. He's a very nice man. In fact, I took social and so to him. He gave me money. As you know, and you are bubbling with, you know, faith comes by hearing, as we know, as we say. So you have heard it and then you are stirred up. But the way the guy would tell you, I took Jimo there. Jimo asked for 300,000, gave him 500. That night, you will not want to eat. You know, and then you get to the man, and then the man sees you and listens very well and says, unfortunately, have you ever had that experience before? Unfortunately, just last week, I had to purchase something, I had to do this, and if you had come, I hate that statement. If you had come, I didn't come, I'm coming now. If you had come Monday, and the guy will say, I'm really sorry. And then he say, so what are you doing? I say, I'm not sure. But, you know, some very brutal ones say, our advice, that you should look elsewhere. So it means that as good and generous a man is, you can't always count on him. You know, because he also probably has to make money. Do you get it? Even those who print money use money to print it. So do you understand? So we want to find out how regular can healing be from God. You know, you can say, how regular is this? You get it? How regular can healing be from God? Or let's even say, how available is it? You know, is it cheap? Is it free? Understand? How available is it? I was talking to my partner today and we were having a small joke. You know, I said, I don't know what we're talking about. We talked about a car that somebody got. We were just discussing. You know, and I said that car is such that they don't expect you to open the engine for 5 years. There is nothing that will happen to the engine. So he said, does it mean you will not step on dirt? I said, what was all this beef about? Of course. But I know that. He said, just like somebody was saying, somebody flew first class. And the economy said, they'll get to the same place. I said, why are you sounding like this? And we're both laughing. I said, we both know that. We both flew first class before. We know how to win the economy. They queue to use the bathroom. They will queue. You'll be saying, no, somebody is in there. But if it's business class, nobody queues there. I said, then, you know, when it's economy, they just drop the food on your, say, take. What do you want? They'll tell you, Sprite? Fanta? It's a restricted list. It's not Caris. It's election. So we're not laughing. We all remember a trip we took one time to Asia, and then we had to stop at Qatar, and how they just packed the people in the economy to one place like a Saba cafe like this. And then we were treated with, you know, and we both laughed, you know, and over there, well, that those kind of things, you know, they were not cheap, you know. And all that, you know, I just joked about it. I was both laughing at, what do you mean by somebody will get there, you will get there at the same time, you get there at the same time, but you get there differently. And it's the truth. You know, it's just like somebody who is walking somewhere, somebody who is in a car, and say, well, actually, we are both going to get there. You know, but there will be a lot of effort on your part. The one who is in a car is enjoying grace. The one who is walking is 10 commandments. So we have to ask ourselves, how free is healing? How available is it? Like we just said now, is it an economy class thing? You know, there was somebody who said that. She was going to the U.S. for a degree program. So obviously she was looking young. So she was in the economy class. And then an old woman who was carrying her child just said, please help me hold this kid. Nope, till they go to America. You know, we're Africans. So if an elderly woman, very elderly, and then she can see that you are young, going for your first degree, maybe this guy is 17 years old, just say, I said in Yoruba, he said, just carry the baby. 13-hour flight. 13 hours. You know, what a way to walk in love. So, you know, is it for economy class that, there are some things, we need to realize what, it's unfortunate that there are some ministries, I've seen it, and I don't expect you to expose yourself to them, but there are some people that collect money for healing. Not that they won't tell it's stylish, they won't say pay for healing. They just say there's a way you can connect with God. You know, so just to ask ourselves, that what is required? I think I told you last week about somebody who has an ailment and then was told that he should sow the seed into somebody who is suffering the same thing. Was it last week I said it? It's not you heal the person. Somebody is taking you to him in his sickness. Hear it. And you know, there are some things that I'm going to come to that before we end. Now, how available is it? I think it's a question we must ask. How available is it? Now, see this. Look at Matthew 12. And who is healing for? Matthew 12, verse 15. Here's Jesus. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from hence, and great multitude, are you there? What happened? They followed him, and he healed what? Them all. Everybody. He healed them all. Someone say all. Look at Luke 6:19. Let me ask you, whatever is for all, how does that sound? Huh? No, in a normal day, whatever is for all is what? Is what? Is free. Is whatever is for all is free. And you can have as much as you want. I was in a restaurant somewhere, and I did not know now that normally if you eat there, just that coming in there, just eat, you have Coke, Fanta, free of charge. The second time I went there and I saw the way they used to discharge Coke, they would bring it in a truck, like a tanker. So they would put the hose like this. They would be pouring Coke. And so you just go and drink. And drink. That's how a brother, we were in the team together, and then he just started drinking and drinking. And I said, Ross, if you come back tomorrow, it will not finish. You know, those are people do free things. It will not finish. Do you get it? And you know, it's a mentality that do you get it? So, is how will it, you know, how available is it? He said he healed. So whatever is for all like that. You know, all is actually all. Amen. Whatever is for all shows you that is available. Luke 6:19. Again. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue out of him and healed how many again? All. Matthew 15:30. And great multitude. Have you noticed that the word here is multitudes? You know, if he had said, and his disciples, we would have put a condition there, right? If he had said, and those who were praying, he just said, multitudes. Let me give you an example. In the days when Oshodi was Oshodi. Do you get it? And you know, there's a way foreign adverts have a way of, they will just focus on that place. This is Lagos. Have you discovered they don't have a place again like that? They don't say, this is Lagos. Say, And they say, Oshodi. Oh, Jojo, Jojo. My experience is that also there. I've been in that place 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. looking for all sorts. You know? And you see crowd. Imagine that is the crowd that went after Jesus. Bus drivers, conductors, you know, those of them who everybody was there. You know? That kind of crowd. And they were touching him and they were getting healed. Somebody would just have put out his cigarette and you touch him and he's healed. Do you understand? That's how multitude means. That's what multitude means. Just about anybody. Hallelujah. Are you listening now? Just about anybody. Muslims, idol worshippers, you know, they were just healed. Praise God. Mm-hmm. So multitude again, they were healed. It says then they were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them at Jesus' feet and healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw dumb speak and maimed to the whole, lame to walk and the blind see. They glorified the God of Israel. Now that word glorify is the word doxazo in the Greek, D-O-X-A-Z-O. It means to bestow what is due to someone. Something you know belongs to him. They recognized immediately what Jesus did belonged to God. What the Hebrew would call Yahweh, you know, what they say now called Yahweh. You know, Greek scholars have to find something about, Greek and Hebrew scholars are Yahweh, Yahweh, but the Jew found it difficult to pronounce it with those alphabets. So they looked at it and they said, this has to be God. Because there was something about it that they could remember, they could recall, and this is God. So they lifted their hands and praised God. This is God. What was it about that healing that made it look like God? The way it went. Everybody who was there, who searched for Jesus, all of them were healed. Hallelujah. So healing is duly his office. Did you get that? Huh? Do you understand that? Healing is the... So that's why if a doctor says to you that, well, this thing, the way it is, I don't think there's anything we can do about it, and tells you this and that. The reason why many of us give up hope, not in this church, is because we are yet to see that healing is God's due office. This, you shouldn't now get, you know, distraught and then say, what did he say? How did they say it? And so on and so forth. No. Amen. Are you there? Let me give you a small study. Look at there. In the four Gospels, that's the four together, there are 3,779 verses. 3,779 verses in the four Gospels. That is 3,779 verses of Jesus talking in the four Gospels. Out of it, 727 were about healing, casting out demons, or raising the dead. In fact, there were several others that I'll probably get later that discussed miracles as well, not just healing. So, of Jesus' subjects, listen carefully, let me go by 3,779 verses of where he spoke. 727 were about healing. Now, he discussed healing more than any subject. He responded on it. He spoke about it more than any other subject. Note that. Out of this, we have approximately 31, but we can push it to 40 individual cases. Now, look at that. That means, listen very well, the individual cases were to let us know. I'm going to use this word very carefully, but I believe you understand it. Let us know the principles in operation. Every time there's an individual case of healing, it is to let you know what happened with the multitudes. So, healing was a major. That means, if you look at the calculation, about 20% of Jesus' as a fifth of Jesus' words, actions were around healing. 20% were around healing. It was a major subject for him. Let me mention other miracles that he did. They did not match up with healing. He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. You see it in Matthew 14. And then Matthew 14, then John 6, 2 instances. And then later on, you know, then the catch of fish, Luke 5, that's Peter's case, and John 21, after his resurrection, making 2 instances. He walked on water once with Peter. Matthew 14. He raised the dead all together, plus or minus, there's one over 5, including Lazarus, Jairus' daughter. Okay, no, sorry, I should have added that. Don't add that. That's part of healing, actually. Just take that away. Okay, the turning of water to wine, just once, John's Gospel 2. He calmed the storm. He calmed the storm. Mark 4. After that, really, everything seems to be what? Huh? Huh? Is there another thing you know? Remind, if you know, let me know. No, you also study the Bible. I do it. We both read it. Is there anything you know? I don't know anyone. So it was a major. So healing was what? A major. Now, healing, of course, involves casting out of demons. It was a major for Jesus. That means he did a lot with the human body. Did you get it? There was a lot with the human body. All the miracles were healing, raising the dead, and casting out devils or demons. Look at the book of Acts too. Uniquely, book of Acts. After Acts 2, Acts 3 was from verse 3, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 16, was the man at the beautiful gate, right? Healing miracle. Acts 4, we were not told of anything. Just said with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord. Acts 43, and great grace upon them. Acts 5, where the miracles were specified, from verse 2 of Peter's shadow, again, what stands out there? Healing and casting out of devils. Am I right? Okay. That's Acts 5. Like I mentioned, from verse 12 to 16. The next place will be the miracle, with same Acts 5, when they were delivered, that is, they were set free from prison. Acts 5. Then the next place will be Acts 6, where you hear about Stephen, that he did great miracles amongst people, but it was not specified. Acts 6, 8. Then Acts 8, the next time you see a miracle will be Philip in Samaria, right? And again, same miracles which he did in verse 6, Acts 8, 6. And then what comes out? Unclean spirits came out, men that were possessed, and the lame were healed. Again, healing. Acts 8, 6. Acts 9 will be in the house of the woman, Lydia. Tabitha, called Dorcas, at Lydia. Again, she's raised from the dead. The physical body is in view. Acts 10, what we have there is the issue of Cornelius getting saved, and Peter going there, and then they spoke in other tongues. Acts 11, no miracles were mentioned, save the power of God. You know, revelation was given and spoken. Acts 12, the deliverance of Peter in Acts 12 from jail. Acts 13, just preaching, people were healed. Acts 14, Paul at Lystra, where he preached the gospel in verse 7, and then the crippled man was healed. Acts 14, 8 and 9. Then Acts 15 was when there was a debate. Every time people have strife, you won't see miracles. Acts 16, the girl possessed of demons, verse 16, 17 and 18. Acts 16. Then the prison doors were opened, the same chapter. Acts 17, they preached at the Berea and then preached at Athens. Acts 18, they preached. Acts 19, where again we have miracles mentioned en masse. Verse 11 and 12, again you'll find diseases and evil spirits cast out. Acts 19, 11 and 12. Acts 20, he was on his way to Jerusalem, so we don't hear anything except he spoke by the Spirit. Acts 21, he was apprehended in Jerusalem. The next time you see Paul have freedom will be Acts 28, because Acts 27 has deliverance from the danger of the sea. But Acts 28, here he was still in captivity, and it says, it came to pass in verse 8, the father of Publius lay sick of fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands upon him and healed him. And when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Acts 28, till the very last chapter, there was healing. That was when he was free. So, healing was a major. Are you following this? Okay, a major. It's a major issue with the power of God. And look at it again. Even in Paul's days, in Acts 19, was just multitude. Acts 5, multitude. So nothing changed. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So healing formed a major activity of the church. It's not a special event. Even though healing is special, spiritual healing is special, but it's not a special event. You know. And then again, like I highlighted, how free and how available is healing? It is available for all. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 8. Let's look at the individual cases. Matthew 8. And this will lead me to where, I mean, how I want to finish today's teaching. The truth is, many of us need to renew our minds on the subject of healing. Last week, I remember when I was closing, I said this, that for experienced believers, whenever it comes to the subject of healing, there seem to be two issues they deal with. Can you remember? The sickness being one of me, and sometimes it is that experience they have. Doubt. Doubt. There was this lady, she'd been married for a while, and she was diagnosed, you know, of one thing or something like that. Then the husband too said his sperm could not fertilize and all that. They had money, so they had traveled around the world. So she came, someone brought her to see me. So I now brought out a tape. Look at this very well, though. The tape, the title of that tape is Why Bad Things Happen to Good Christians. Is it good Christians or good people? Good Christians. What is the title? Why Bad Things Happen to Good Christians. This was 2003. As she saw that tape, she started talking. Ah, It's true. God has a way of allowing these things. She was just responding. So I waited. Say bad things. And you'll have served the Lord. And you are faithful. You know, it was a sofa. So I was at the other edge. I was just looking at her. She had not listened to it. It was actually exact opposite of what she was saying that was in the tape. I said, actually, you are not correct. She looked at me. You gave me a tape. Why bad things have the good Christian say you are not correct? I said, that tape is actually supposed to kill you. So you do something. You will feed on that tape for a long time. So I gave her a wire. I'm not sure, over 2 months. In fact, I went to visit her with that friend. You know, it was her home. You know, she wanted me to share the word. The friend knows that I did not share the word. I said, I won't. I said, Pastor, I miscalled. You didn't. I said, if any more thing I tell her, there will be more problems. She needs to feed on what I say she feed on. So I just took one hit. I forgot, maybe Maranatha something from my house, and that was all. And then we just spoke. So after a while, she came and said, I now saw. She said, she told me that for weeks she battled what was in there. That when Reverend so-and-so preached this. I know she was an HOD in a major church in Lagos. HOD. In fact, at the point she was the secretary of the church council. You know that's the point of some people. Getting born again is their problem. They have been born again. Sorry, I think you understand what I'm trying to say. So I didn't say anything. Because anything you say, have you ever tried pouring water in a basket? It will go down. It's going to be worse. So I'll keep quiet. So I didn't say anything. She just spoke up one day. So she will come around. She will go, say, Pastor, she said to see you, will you pray for me? I knew she wasn't listening well to the teaching. I said, no. I'm not praying for you. I said, Pastor, why? I discovered that when I call, you don't pray. I said, it's deliberate. It's not a mistake. She said, okay. So, I knew that day she was a level of offense in her mind, but it didn't matter. Jesus had more from his disciples. So one day she now called. On her own. Pastor, wow. I just got a hold of what you were saying. Not what I was telling her one-on-one. In the tape. She battled it. And I went. If God's word can't do something, who is me? Do you get it? Who is me? Have I told you about who is me before? Do you know who is me? Some two parents in the boarding house. I was there, who is you? So I just gave the child this one, who is me? This one, who is you? What a nickname. Do you understand? She just said, so, by the time she came back, she now said, I was now listening to her. At that point, you know, believers have to take, you see, a believer is not an unbeliever. Believers have to take responsibility. So I said, I'm listening to you. She said, I found out something. I said, what is it? All of a sudden, you know, there's a way light will now lighten everything you know that you did not know. She said, that she discovered that the Bible spoke about Sarah as well. That Sarah received strength by faith. I said, yes. She said, Pastor, can you help me understand that? We are now on the same page. So I said, yes. I said, the issue about it was that they said, your husband, this is what they said. There's nothing wrong about doctor's report. It actually tells you how to use your faith. Because you can't go to meet Jesus and say, I don't know whether I'm sick or not. Can you heal me? You have to, first of all, know you are sick. Who tells you that you are sick? It's not your grandmother. It's a doctor. Are you following my point? You know, you can feel that you have headache and you don't have headache. It's because you are hungry. Do you understand? So, do you get what I'm talking about? So she just said, I saw it.
I said, yes. I said, so there's enough power in your body, right, to get your husband to fertilize the egg. She said, I saw it. She said, she did. I said, good. I didn't do any, I didn't pray. I have not yet prayed. She just called that unknowingly. She now went to the doctor. She thought it was a menstrual period. So she went and said, no. Now, unfortunately, it was actually a miscarriage. I found out that in her voice, she was excited. You know what that means? She, at least she said, so it's actually, number one, it has disproved. I said, exactly. I think she has 3 children now. Do you understand? You know, of course, she didn't come back the second time. Because a miracle always gives you confidence for another one. Now, look at what I said. There was something she was battling. But the Hagin used to say this, that for many believers, our problem is wrong thinking. Some people have had enough sermons to not believe God's word. Enough sermons. They do not believe God's word. See, when you are believing for a healing, there are some books you don't read. Like endurance. Count it all joy. Mm-mm. That's not what you need. At that point, you get it. Endurance. You don't need endurance. The fellowship of his sufferings. I just know what I'm saying. I hope you are following this. You also know the Telemundo. You get it? Because those things even have a subtle way of pushing across unbelief to your mind. I've told you, there is no information that is neutral. Every information seeks to get your attention, even jokes. So you must be on guard, okay? Right? You know, Satan has no holiday. Even if he declares one, he's lying. So Matthew 8 is the first individual case. And the first thing I want us to notice here, there are other ones I will have spoken about, but let's look at it. Matthew 8, Jesus, verse 2 to 3. Put that aside. There's one in Mark 1, which is similar, where he cast out a demon. Mark 1, similar to the one in Luke 4. Mark 1, from verse 32, actually 30 to 34, is similar to the one in Luke 4 as well, verse 40. They are very similar. So it's like a repetition. Luke 4, verse, yep, am I right? Yep, verse 39, sorry, to verse 41. Now in Luke 5, they brought in somebody who was sick of the palsy, paralyzed. And the Bible says in verse 20, Jesus saw their faith. So mark that, because we'll come back to it next week. He saw their faith. So faith was a role in how Jesus healed the sick. Now, go to that Matthew 8, which is where we want to start today. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 8. And behold, there came a leper, worshipped him. Worshipping means he fell down at his feet. Alright? You find also somebody who was possessed, worshipped him. It means he just fell down at his feet. Not that he was lifting his hands. Saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Look at the question he asked. If you will. Okay? Like, if you are willing. Okay? That's the word fellow in the Greek. T-H-E-L-O. 209 times is used. That is, are you designed for this or are you ready? Are you ready? Now, why did he say, are you ready? He said, are you ready? Because he had seen Jesus. That wasn't Jesus' first instance. Alright? He had heard about him in Matthew 4. He went from city to city, town to town, preaching and teaching, healing the sick. But you see, you just say that, is this the right time? You know, and also we say things like this sometimes in Christian meetings. This is your time, you know. Yes, there are some things that have to do with time, but some of our program is, well, this is my time. So you say, what he was saying was, are you able? He knew he was able, but the question is, are you ready now? So that was the question he asked. And Jesus responded. He said, I am willing. So you see that the sick has a role to play. He asked the question. Jesus did not walk away that, you are asking me whether I'm ready. Did you not hear about me, Capernaum? Have you not been watching the news? Check your Facebook. You know, there is nothing wrong at all because he has a role to play. Are you willing? And Jesus responded and said, I am willing. The Greek is like this. I am willing that you be cleansed. Same word, fellow. Do you know what I took out of that text? If Jesus was a magician. Now, I know what magic is. One of my seniors in secondary school was one of the children of Professor Pella. Do you know Professor Pella? Huh? Aha. He was my senior. I was his mess boy. In government college, mess boy is the boy who serves your food. It was 2 years my senior, I think. So, he called me one day. I think it was the first week I became his mess boy. He said, Pressman, I came. He said, have you seen magic before? Well, since I knew his father, I said, well, I've seen, I just quickly said that I've seen your father, you know, and the guy's very unemotional. So I'm going to show you one. I think he did it to put fear in my mind. So, he now brought out a matchbox. He said, hold it. He said, I should take the match, I should remove all the matchsticks. I said, I should close it. I was one holding it. So I should put it back in his lock. I put it there. So I should come. So I should open it again. And I saw the matchsticks there. I said, ha. Say, yeah. He now frowned. He said, you can go. You can disappear from this school. So, he will just come to the table. When we are eating yam and egg. Yam and egg is special food. He will bring big plates. He will pour all the egg for 10 people in his own plate. And take maybe just 2 slices of yam. And walk away. And everybody just is, you know. So he was greatly feared. Until one day, the day I stopped fearing him. Well, I didn't really fear him like that though. But it's my senior. Whether it's magic or not, he will do magic with me. One of his mates beat him up. I was so happy. The joy I had, no man could take it from me. They beat him up. The guy said, do magic. He couldn't, you know. You know, if Jesus had looked at that man, said, Lord, if thou be willing, I became just a... But then the guy is healed. Jesus spoke. He had to say something. Are you following me? In other words, I didn't say it in quiet. He said it loud enough for the guy to hear. I am willing. Be thou clean. Jesus was not a contemplative speaker. He was a deliberate speaker. He said that word deliberately. Now, he said that word to express the readiness of God to heal the sick. That word, you know, like people say about faith, of course, when they say faith comes by hearing, I always say to them that, well, knowledge comes by hearing to us as believers. There are some things you need to hear them. You need to know them. You need to know them. It's not faith that comes to you. You are born of God. You have faith, the faith of God. It is knowledge. You need, that's why Paul says, share the communication of your faith, Philemon 6, becomes effectual by what? Knowledge. So it's knowledge that comes to us when we hear the word. The unbelieving man has faith when he hears the word. The believer has knowledge when he hears the word. Are you following this? Okay. So when we hear that,
We have to hear some things over and over again. The fact that you are in a church that they preach the word doesn't matter. But the Hagin is talking about his wife. Or is her Hagin? You know, both of them are going to be the Lord. She had a defective heart. And the doctor told her, well, she was going to die. So he looked at the wife and said, well, Rita, if you die, I'll marry somebody else. Now look, you know enough. You've heard me preach. You've heard me leave it. You've heard others get healed. Alright? So, the ball is in your court. She was smart. You know? She just discovered that she will stay behind sometimes when he has gone to preach. And then when he comes back home, you hear the whole house filled with, you know, those things that are playing. Just hearing God's word. That by time, and Brother Higgin is an early riser. He said by the time it's up, 3 a.m., she's already awake. Playing tape over and over in the kitchen, over and over and over and over for months. 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 Are you following what I'm saying? You know why? That's not the first time she's hearing about healing. The more reason why you have to hear it well. Are you listening? Did you understand that? Well. So, by the time they went back to the doctor, said he found a brand new heart in her body. Praise God. Are you listening? Mm-hmm. So, now, that leads us to what I wanted to say. The first thing I want us to fully see, I learned this from F.F. Boswell, brother, he used to say it a lot too, that, so Jesus said those things, let me quickly say this, so that the man will, let me use it like this, so that the man will use his faith or have faith, you know, either of both. F.F. Boswell said this, and it makes it, I mean, it's very clear, that faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where faith does not act in a vacuum. People that acted because they heard something. So faith begins where the will of God is known. Say faith begins where the will of God is known. Look at 3 John 2. John, writing to Gaius, said, I wish above all things, beloved, that thou mayest prosper, Hudo in the Greek, and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You know, we found out that, well, obviously, that guy was prosperous. Can you remember that? Where did we do this? Was it last week? That obviously was prosperous. And obviously, he was doing well spiritually. So his soul. You get it? So that word, that thou mayest be in health, must refer to his physical body. Now, how willing is God a physical body be in health? We just saw it in the book of Acts. We saw it in the four Gospels. Right? Are you there? So, there are some things that they have to be clear in our minds. When I carried a sickness for years, approximately, let's say 3, and was a regular visitor in the hospital. Some of us, when we travel together, and I show you where we get to, by the Queen's Street. That was Queen's Hospital at Dubai. Maybe I've seen that hospital before. Who else have I shown that hospital? I was going. I said, that is the hospital I'm talking about. The owner is Dr. Oduwole. That's his name. I knew deeply. I knew the nurses. I knew I was a G. I got to a point that when I get to the hospital, they will say, they will just be pointing. No card, nothing. He falls sick. Do you understand? And every time, I will just feel like going to the hospital. I want to go to the hospital. And I will lie there. You know? And they will just, what they will do, that they will just call home and just inform them. Not that they will come home. They just inform them, okay, how are you now? And all that.
So one led to the other and all that. So when and the thing was that what I was hearing made me comfortable that, well, that there are some people, based on something that their grandfather did or great grandfather. And me too, I went to find out. So there was more faith. And they told me, so, okay? And I had gone with my dad to a prophet who confirmed it. So I was hearing. Did you get it? I was hearing things. I had heard believers also say, you know that fellow, that's the way God is dealing with him. There was a series I got from a certain teacher of the body, in the body, on the other side of the body of Christ. I almost mentioned his name, you know, on wilderness experience. So I had heard enough. So it was like, when God is ready, he will do it. As a young Christian. So I wasn't taking healing seriously until I was told to my face, I had 6 months. God's not trying you again, no. 6 months is a definite timeline. I looked into my mom's eyes, she was crying. My dad, you know, looking dejected, I had to look into my own self. These people will stay alive when you are gone. You better believe for yourself. I just started remembering scriptures. Only one. Do you understand? And I had to take it up on myself. You know, there's something. You know, look at what I said. I had heard enough things. You can be preaching healing and believing something else. You can be preaching healing like this and you believe something else. And those you are preaching to will be blessed. And they will be healed. Have you ever had fever before? And you laid hands on others and they were healed? Are you following what I'm saying here? So faith begins. So there's some things that are somewhere in your mind. In your mind. Everybody goes in the direction of their conviction. I told you of a church. I was supposed to come there and preach about miracles. They call it, forgot the title of the book, 2002. I told that story that said that there was now this bomb blast in Lagos. Have I told that story before? Some of you know. They said, power of God, power of God. And then, when I'm preaching, I say, the power of God. And they're like, go. The way the pastor bolted out, I was told. He was the first person outside. He went in the direction of his conviction. It's true. I don't know what I'm saying. That's in the direction. It was only the keyboard that didn't leave the service. I heard the answer, Pastor. He went in the direction. There was a sister like that. She missed her exams in UNILAG because she thought the exam was in the afternoon. So by the time she got there, we've written the exam. Ha! So when she said it, her friends knew she didn't make it. They were looking for her. Before they got her, you know, she just sent me a text. The pastor, I've missed my exam. What do I do? 2003. I hope I'm right. So I tried to call her back. The number was busy. As that thing happened, she called her mother. Mommy! 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 She had grown to be calling mommy. Mommy! Mommy! Mother! You know what I'm going to do? The mom just alerted the dean. You get it? Meanwhile, her friends, when they knew she missed the exam, had gone to meet the lecturer that, as soon as the guy said, don't worry, when you see her, let her write in the afternoon, so we'll take it together. But by the time they called the dean, you know, there is no way. So, of course, the dean knew, and then the dean did not know what was in the mind of the lecturer. So he just said, well, you have to write again.
Do you understand what I'm saying? There was something in her mind. Mommy, mommy, mommy. She grew to be saying, mommy, mommy. What about being calm a little bit? Just be calm. You know, if she just said, oh, wow. If all she did was pray in tongues for 1 hour, she would have found those friends. She had an extra year because it was her final year, final semester. That's not the will of God for her. She panicked. So there are some things that are... So she went in the direction of her conviction. Mommy will do something about it. And mommy did. Do you know it is possible that before that day she prayed that issue out in tongues? That was why the friends told the lecturer and they agreed. But panic undid what she prayed about. So there are some things that are in our minds that we might have today also need healing. For example, there are some things people have in their minds. Let's look at what Paul said. Look at 1 Timothy 5:23. I'm coming in another direction on this in a very, very interesting day. Look at 1 Timothy 5:23. Paul was writing to a man of God by the name of Timothy. The first thing we need to realize is that God does not like sickness. God abhors it. God doesn't want you to be in it at all. Do you understand? He does not. 1 Timothy 5:23. He says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine awful infirmities. You know, if sickness was something that maybe God, when the man of God say, well, Timothy, we don't know what God is trying to do because it's an orphan infirmity. Mm-mm. Paul's mind was positive about stopping it. Of course, pay attention. He said to him to take no longer water only. That's the way it is in the Greek. There are so many arguments about it. Maybe there was water problem in the area and all that. I don't go into, you know, speculation. But it says, but wine. Now, the word wine, okay, before the word wine is a Greek word, oino, O-I-N-O. Now, if you watch it, it's used for different things. Okay? Some people have argued, is it grape wine? I don't like going to those kind of things. Let it be a bottle of wine. Doesn't really matter. It's wine. In Luke 10:34, remember when that Samaritan, when he helped the man that was attacked by thieves, you know they cured the wounds with oil and wine. So that means oil had multi-purpose uses, same as wine. He said, for your orphan infirmities, which means that the thing will come and go. The thing will come and go. And Paul will say, let's see how this thing will not come again. Again, it shows that it's not something any believer should be comfortable with. It shouldn't be. God wants you well. Did you hear me? Say, God wants me well. He wants me physically well. So for Paul to, you know, that's one of the things in Bible that you cannot act upon. You know, because there are some things Paul will say. He will say, it is the Holy Ghost talking to me. How? That wasn't an instruction of the Holy Ghost. When he says, bring the parchments. Is he talking to you? Go and bring them now. Greet Trophimus. Do you know him? So, this is a personal... We don't know what they are talking about. You know? We don't know why he said that. But we know he was talking about he should not be comfortable with sickness. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is no doctrine in the Bible called use wine. But it shows that you should not be comfortable with it. God is not. Don't accept it. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians 2:27. Are you following this? Paul was speaking about Epaphroditus, who for the sake of labor in the work of ministry fell ill. You know, he said it was careless. He didn't regard his life. He said he fell ill.
said he longed after you, verse 26, and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed, he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Look at how Paul defines sickness. Sorrow upon sorrow means one sorrow that leads to another. So being sick in the body was sorrowful. It wasn't something they accepted at any time. Now, you know, that's how God wants it. You know, there's a way. You know, he said, lest I have sorrow upon sorrow. The word sorrow is the Greek word lupe, L-U-P-E. It's used for affliction, pain, and grief. Affliction, pain, and grief. So sickness was described by Paul as sorrow. Are you there? The way he spoke to Timothy, like, do something about it. Here he's saying it is sorrowful. It's not something that excites the believer. No. Look at 2 Timothy 4:20. He said, Trophimus have I left in Miletus sick. Trophimus was a servant of the Lord. Somebody who walked with him, with Paul. 2 Timothy 4:20. The one left. You know, there are two words. There's the word apolepo. A-P-O-L-E-I-P-O. Where you actually, this word actually means to leave behind. He left him behind. Like to abandon. Left him to stay. That means the flip side would have been, would have come together. But I left him to stay. That means he didn't allow the man to do the work of the ministry. Falling ill does not help ministry. It can't be the will of God. You can't pray. You can't preach. You can't read the Bible. How can that be the will of God? What is it willing in that? It's not. So, there was nowhere in the Bible, in the epistles, where it was ever used in a positive light. Sickness and pain is something that should be dealt with. It was never accepted, taught, or understood as God's will. So there are some things that should be sorted out in our minds. Do you know that some people who hold to that scripture, see how we have read it. So people who read it to mean people also fell sick in the Bible now, there's no big deal. But see how we read it. We read it in a different light. Are you following what I'm saying? So are you getting what I'm saying? There's a way you can look at it and then accept sickness. But I said, no, he didn't ask them to accept it. Of course, he didn't deny the fact that they were sick. Some people would deny it. How are you? Say, I'm strong. What does that mean? I'm strong. No, you are vice. 2 Corinthians 12. You know? Don't deny the facts. Well, I'm not feeling fine. My back hurts me. But glory be to God, the power of God is working in there. Hallelujah. I've received my healing. Praise God. Do you understand? But don't say, nothing. Nothing. Mm-mm. I'm strong. I'm strong is not a confession of of God's word. Now look at 2 Corinthians 12. Someone said, well, what about Paul? The thorn in his flesh. When I was growing up as a Christian, a respectable preacher, do you know the thing that amazed me about that preacher? He was one of the first preachers I saw work miracles. So I had already been so convinced about his ministry for him to now say that Paul actually had an ailment. That the reason why God left that ailment in his body is so that Paul will be humble. He will not be forward. He will not miss it. That you see that is a thorn in his flesh. He said that's why he prayed 3 times. And God said no. You know, as he was saying, because he was working miracles, I didn't read that verse very well. Me too, I said no. And God said no. There was no way God ever said no. God simply said, my grace is sufficient for you. That means he answered him the same way three times. And you see, that's why I said, so I was, when I finally saw that, then one of my boss in the faith, brothers in the faith, elders, now said, that when he gets to some levels in the faith, when you fall sick, God will just give you grace to bear it. You know, they just finished me. What I was trying to come out, there is grace to bear it. I said, it's true. My grace is sufficient. Now, imagine believing that for some years. Do you get it? And then you now see a preacher of God's word healing the sick. And then you begin to say, they begin to look for excuses. He now uses glasses. After he doesn't use glasses. He begins to meditate. Does that not mean that he has something in his eyes? If he has something in his eyes, does that not mean that it's not like that for everybody? You see, you are answering the wrong question. Do you get it? So, some people have built that in their mind for a while. I said it begins where the will of God is known. Now, imagine having to find out the very first person who let me, and the thing about it is that he didn't even explain, was Reverend Dr. Fred Price. He was the first person that said, no, that is not sickness. The funny thing about what he did that day was that he didn't elaborate. Ah! And I like Fred Price. OGTV. So LTV8. I said, it's not sickness. So, little light. Like a friend of mine would say, twilight. I was moving on it. Later, I now found out that word thorn in the flesh is a figure of speech. It was never used for, it's a figure of speech to say something that annoys you. You don't separate those words. You don't separate thorn from in the flesh. They are said together. Thorn in the flesh is the figure of speech. It is used for something that irritates, that annoys. Actually used for persecution. Let's quickly run through some texts of scripture. Old Testament texts. So those he wrote to, they understood what he was saying. Numbers 33. Numbers 33, verse 55. If you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land, that is, if you don't chase them out of the land from before you, then shall come to pass that those that you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes. I don't think a people can enter your eyes. There's a pricks in your eyes. He's saying that they will now be in your eyes, Abba. And thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land. That is, they will disturb you. They will persecute you. Numbers 33, verse 55. You also look at Joshua 23. Joshua 23, verse 13. And you know for a certain that the Lord God will no more drive out any of the nations before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you. Scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish off from this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. So it was never used for sickness and disease. Judges 2:3. Judges 2:3. They shall be thorns in your sides. So it's used for persecution, not mosquito bites. Amen. Persecution. That's why he called it the angel of Satan that buffets me. What was that angel of Satan doing? The angel of Satan was stirring persecutions against Paul in the cities. So he said, I besought the Lord that this thing can be taken away. He said, my grace, you know, you said it, you cannot pray out persecution. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. So Paul is saying, I will rejoice in that infirmity. I will rejoice when there are persecutions and afflictions. When there's a trial against me for preaching the gospel. Are you following what I'm saying? Not sickness and disease. Let me show you if you are following me. Are you following this? Aha. That's why Paul will call it the angel of Satan. The angel of Satan cannot live in your body now. It can only walk through men. to inspire sickness and disease. Also, you see that Paul spoke about when he went to Galatia, Galatians 4, and he said, I came to you. So those kind of things can hinder the way you think. Am I right? If you don't get it sorted out, am I correct? Galatians 4, verse 13, Paul says, you know that through infirmity of the flesh, I preach the gospel unto you at the first. This scripture used to give me a problem. Through infirmity of the flesh. There was a word I never saw. And he went on. I was trying to see what he's talking about. And obviously, he was referring to his body. By verse 15. So I looked at it. There was a word I didn't notice. At the first. So curiously, I said, at the first, how? And I went to the first time he came to the to them in Galatia. What happened to him? Acts 14. Remember when that man at Lystra, when he was raised up, you know, from paralysis, you know, they said they wanted to crown him and Barnabas. When they rejected it, they now stoned him and took him for dead. What happened? When they took him for dead, look at Acts 14. As they took him for dead, they thought he was dead. Disciples rallied around him, Acts 14. Rallied around him, what happened? And he rose up, verse 20. They took him, they thought he was dead. You know, there's a way you can. No, don't forget, they didn't push him down, they thought he was dead, though. They stoned him, a crowd. Now, I don't want to ask whether it has happened to you before, it shouldn't. But have you seen those thieves that they catch? And everybody goes after them, mob action. You know? And they are now bringing stones. And will stone the person to death. I don't think his eyes will be intact. Or his skin. You know, they injured him physically. So they must have checked his pulse. Ah, he's gone. And disciples came about him. Then he got up. And he departed. Watch this. He departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 29. I wonder where Barnabas was. But it's just good to know where the associates are. 21. And when they had preached the gospel in that city, so he went to them. This was what he was talking about. He came to them as he left the place. So he came to them injured. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you getting this? So again, this is a product of what? Persecution. It's just like saying, because they flogged Jesus in his body, he was sick. You know, you are also sick if you think like that. You understand? So, he wasn't ill. Okay? He came there bruised. Hebrews 12. Why are we going through all this? Because wrong thinking will produce wrong believing. If you think wrong about this text, you will believe wrong. Somewhere in your mind, you will accept sickness. So you have to sort it out. Hebrews 12. Are you following? Hebrews 12, verse 6. I'll start from 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation we preached unto you as unto children? I've heard sermons on this scripture so much that the day I knew what it meant, I felt like going back to my past and flogging everybody to my present, including myself. And I said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. You think about that. He scourges every son. And the brother who explained this scripture used the word hoios in the Greek. I said hoios means mature son. That when you are mature, that when you are a baby Christian, when you do wrong, God will just be, but when you grow up, he said, no way. That he will not bring out scourges. That that's how some of us will be sick and won't get healed. I noticed of somebody, and he explained it like a scholar. I sat down and said, hey, growing up is a problem. You get it? But look at the words. The word scourges is the word mastigo in the Greek. M-A-S-T-I-G-O-O. It was used seven times, actually eight including this one, no, seven together, and all the seven times except this place. It was used for literal scourge, where blood will come out of the body of the person. It was used on criminals and used by persecutors. Matthew 10:17. Matthew 20:19. Matthew 25:34. Matthew 10:17. Matthew 20:19. Matthew 25:34. Mark 10:4. Sorry, Mark 10:34. That was a mistake. Mark 10:34. Luke 18:33. And John 19:1. I'll start again. Matthew 10:17. Matthew 20:19. Matthew 25:34. Mark 10:34. Luke 18:33 and John 19:1. How will this be a description of the Heavenly Father? That got my attention. Okay? Then look at the word chastise. So the word mastigo is literal. Are you following what I'm saying? It's literally used. And I found the other word, chastening. The word chastening is the word paideo in the Greek. P-A-I-D-E-U-O. P-A-I-D-E-U-O. Now don't blame the translators. It's the word they think fits the Greek that they will use. And you see, grammar has changed over the years. Are you following what I'm saying? So chastening is a word to educate. Chastening is also used for punishment. Luke 23:16 and 22. Luke 23:16 and 22. 1 Corinthians 11:32, which is altogether that, you know, the Lord chastens, that is, he judges. Again, instruction. 2 Corinthians 6:9. Then look at Acts 7:22, to learn off. Acts 7:22. Acts 22:3. Acts 22:3. Acts 7:22 and Acts 22:3. 1 Timothy 1:20, that they may learn not to blaspheme, to learn. 2 Timothy 2:25. 2 Timothy 2:25. So it's used for punishment and also used for to educate. So we are left in between. It seemed to be agreeing with scourge, but not so. The third word, which is contradictory, is he scourges every son whom he receives. To receive here means to welcome, to take as yours. That is, it's a proof that this person is yours. Mark 4:20, to welcome the word. Mark 4:20. Acts 15:4, when Paul and Barnabas were welcomed in Jerusalem. Acts 15:4. Acts 15:4. Acts 16:21. Acts 15:4. Acts 16:21. To receive customs, to accept them. Acts 22:18. 22:18. Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. To welcome, to take as yours. 1 Timothy 5:19. Receive not an accusation against an elder, but with two or three witnesses. So how would you say a person is received? By scourging. That's contradictory. So, oftentimes, what will bail you out is, obviously, this text was quoted from the Old Testament. So, let us look at where it was quoted from. It was quoted from Proverbs 3. You know, it said, as it is said, in Hebrews 12, made reference to an Old Testament text. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks? That means something they all knew. This was taken from Proverbs 3. Let's look at it together. Proverbs 3. Verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 is direct translation of verse 5. It says, my son, despise not the chastening. It means, don't esteem lightly. Okay? Neither be weary of his correction. The word weary, don't be abhorred. Also used for being terrorized. Don't be abhorred. Don't be weary. Don't abhor it. Don't dislike it. So again, he used the word chastening. Here, chastening is the word mustar. Mustar in the Hebrew is used 50 times. M-U-S-T-A-R. And it is words. That is, this was where this text was taken from. The word chastening in the Hebrew is mustar. M-U-S-T-A-R. And it refers to words. So say words. Just speaking. Are you following? Aha. So, whatever I was saying here was referring to words. Then it talks about correction. It says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Now, go back a bit. The word correct, you know, I use the word correction first in 11, which is a word. I'll just spell it for you. T-O-W-K-E-C-H-A-H. T-O-W-K-E-C-H-A-H. It means to rebuke by the mouth. In fact, the active tense of this word is to use the mouth. This was where Hebrews 12:5 was taken from. Somebody listening? Are you listening? So verse 12, now say, whom the Lord loves, he corrects. That's the word yakash in the Hebrew. Kash. Yakash means to adjudge. To adjudge. To correct. Yakash. 59 times is used. It's used for passing judgment or examination. Proverbs 9, 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8. Proverbs 9. Just the same place. Proverbs 9, verse 7 and 8. He that reproves a scorner forgets to himself shame, and he rebukes a wicked man, gets himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, verse 8, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. You see again, speaking. That's the word there. Correct, yakash. Proverbs 15:12. A scorner loves not one that reproves him, neither will he go unto the wise. Proverbs 19:25. Smite his corner and the simple will beware. Reprove one that has understanding and he will understand knowledge. Correct. Proverbs 24:25. Proverbs 24:25. To them that rebuke shall be delight, and a good blessing that shall come upon them. Proverbs 25 verse 12. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient heir. Proverbs 25:12. Proverbs 28:23. He that rebukes a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. Proverbs 30 verse 6. Art thou not unto his words, let he reprove thee, and thou shalt be found a liar. So it is used for words. Are you following this? It's used for what? Words. Now, look at, go back to Proverbs 3. Are you learning something? Proverbs 3 verse 12. Even a father, the son in whom he delights. Again, the word delights, alright, is the word ratsah. R-A-T-S-A-H. Is the exact Hebrew word of the Greek word we saw earlier, in whom he delights. Now, do something quickly, and I want you to quickly do that. Look at that Proverbs 3, verse 12, and Hebrews 12:6. Tell me the difference. There's a difference there. Proverbs 3:12 and Hebrews 12:6. Who can spot the difference quickly? What's the difference? Huh? He said the word "kodge" is not in Proverbs. Is it correct?
Yes, sir.
Is it correct? So that means there was a mistranslation somewhere. Where it was lifted from, scourge wasn't there. That means the use of a physical correction, the use of using physical things to correct, was not in the original. Is that very clear? Do you understand? So the chastening of the Lord is words. It's by preaching and teaching. It's in words. The chastening of the Lord is in words. That is why Hebrews 12. Are you learning something? Hebrews 12. He will do it by His Spirit within. He will do it by His Spirit with someone else. Hebrews 12. Look at the words He uses. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? For if thou be without chastening, whereof are you partakers? Whereof are all our partakers? Then are you bastards, not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrects us. Look at that. He makes a distinction. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of what? And live. So what he's referring to is spiritual. And live. We are not corrected and die. Do you understand? For they verily after a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. This is serious. That's after their own design. Death is lap. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. The word grievous there, you know, means what does not bring excitement, discomfort. Nevertheless, after it yields forth, yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So, the essence of that correction is to what? To strengthen how we act. And that is why it is the word educate. Do you understand? To speak the word. You know, it's not all the things you hear in the word that you'll be excited about. There are some things that you will hear them and you will just simmer down. You can have tears. That's what he's saying. So it's not everything that will bring joy when you hear them. There are some folks that there are some teachings don't hear in sense community. They just leave it. This one is not the word. He's not talking about what happened from the cross to the throne. No, it's not just the throne, it's the city. They have itching ears. They have itching ears. You want to live how you like and say, I'm forgiven. We know you are forgiven, but you are also stupid. Do you understand? You are also foolish. You are also carnal. You know, those are not nice words. I don't think you hear, are you not carnal? I walk as men and say, woo, glory! Woo! Woo! Say, you walk as men, glory! When you hear that, just pack your Bible and leave. You will hear those kind of things and you are in tears. My little children, whom I travail at birth till Christ be formed in you. That's what he's talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? Aha. So, obviously, God does not use physical circumstances of discomfort, of pain, to teach us anything. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? You know, you have to remove that from your mind. You have to, it has to leave your mind. You see, you have to get it out of your mind. It has to be totally away from your mind. That is, you will consciously unbelieve this belief. Nonsense. I mean, now I'm calmer. Pastoring has changed my life forever. Pastoring over time. There are sometimes, when I watch some movies and they say things like that, I would literally want to break the TV. Like, are you mad? That's the way I used to feel, though. Because you have to, it's something you have to consciously revolt against. That no, it paints God in the wrong light. See how God spoke to Job. What have you guys been saying? What have you guys been saying? The guy will be giving glory to God for what Satan did. There was a lady who left the church. I saw her on BlackBerry. She posted something that people who will succeed will give thanks for whatever they go through in life. I said, where have you been to? You give thanks for whatever you go through in life. Eh? So if you steal somebody's money, you give thanks. Bible says in all things you give thanks. So when you commit sin, you give thanks. When you are not prayerful, you give thanks. Right? When you lie, you give thanks. Say, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah, so don't use it for everything. You get it? He didn't say give thanks for everything. He said in everything. That means in spite of it, give thanks. Not for everything. You can't give thanks for sickness and disease. Father, I thank you because I'm sick. You are actually sick. Look at that. James 5:13. He says, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? You know, if sickness was a norm, he would ask. Verse 14. He said, if any affliction, let him pray. Is any man, let him sick. Is any sick among you? Should I have said, is any sick among you? He should have even asked. But that means that he didn't expect us to be sick. That's why he will say, is there any sick among you? Let him go for the elders and let them pray. Hallelujah. He said, let them pray the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. It's very key that we sort these things out in our minds. Let me tell you why I went this length to explain this. Are you following what I'm saying? I know what I'm going to say now may be a bit harsh, but I have to go to the extreme. A lady was talking to me that, well, she went to, you know, again, I don't know, me and this, I want to have a child. Well, I don't know. So she now said, well, that a pastor told her that, she asked the question, that, has she done an abortion before? She said, yes. That's the reason. I said, the guy is a fool. He's a big fool. So when people do 5 abortions, that means they keep having children. That's a big fool for saying that. Sorry, like I said, I'm going to the other extreme. I'm not saying abortion is right. Of course, if you think I'm saying that, you are also a big fool. I didn't say that. But it is very foolish to now assume that God now wants to revenge. If God wants to revenge, who can stand? God is not revenging with anybody. Do you understand? That the man said that. Let me say, as she was explaining it, I told her, if you didn't remember anything at all in your life, even if you forgot your name, 22 years ago, I taught you the word of God. I know I've not seen you for 21 years, but there's some things you don't forget. You don't forget your name. Do you understand? You don't forget your first lap. I'm joking. How can you forget that I told you 22 years ago that it is not true? Said Paul. The guy now explained that Paul the apostle, you know, he thought he was done when he now got born again. Can you imagine? When he was an unbeliever, God didn't do anything to him for what he did. It was now when he now got born again, I said, like you entered his trap in Christ. I said, don't be silly. What Jesus told Ananias, he will suffer for his sin's sake. He said, it's true. Where have you been? Come to Saints Community Church. Anywhere. Anywhere in the world. Go there. You will hear things like this. I say it's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. That the reason why you are having issues with your job now is what you stole at a place. Of course, don't steal. But that is not why you are having problems. As long as you keep thinking like this, you won't deal with it. See, let me see how Fred Price said it years back. He said the way some people think. If sin is the way people think that you will be getting payment, repayment, returns. Thank you. I was looking for a word. He said, none of us will survive a minute. Your very thought can be sinful. But your hand goes. Bam. What happened? It's your thought. Some of you are thinking, pass around up. You see what I'm talking about? Your legs will just disappear. You get it? He said, look. He said, if Satan is as powerful as you think he is, as it is, he said he will use just a broken nail to kill you. That thing dawned on me that it's true. Because I know the kind of thoughts that I think. Thoughts of evil and not of peace.
Do you understand? So, it is absolute nonsense. Jesus, on the streets of men, he healed everybody, including those that he knew they were going to persecute him. After they got healed, they said, kill him, John, kill him. Malchus came with what we can call guns today to arrest Jesus. Jesus healed Malchus. Malchus. And Malchus, you say, ah, yes, by the same time, please, your hands and your back, sir. We have to. He still arrested him. Somebody who is now a child of God. Malchus is not asked for forgiveness of sins. He just, you know. And then the believer will imagine. Is the height of nonsense. See, eh? This is why I say it. If God is like that, I'll serve the devil. Ah! The devil protects his guys. He does. That's not why some people are scared of some. Say, that guy's a jazz man, just move back. But it's funny. I said someone, I said, how would you be afraid of somebody using jazz? That one irritates me. Don't let me get on that one. Somebody using jazz. That one annoys me. I said to you before, I said, God, if jazz affects me, let me go to hell. You know why? Somebody went to the village to collect from somebody. Who collected from somebody? Who went to the devil? Who got, a demon who got it from the devil? Are you afraid of the last man? Where? Do you understand? It's the last man, the one that didn't even know who got it from who. Now put it in your food and you're shaking. Shake out! Do you understand? How would you say because you did something and you did something? I said, stop talking like that. Nonsense. None of your sins is qualified to bring punishment upon you. None. Let that sink inside. That was why Jesus came. He came so that you will not be punished. That was why he came. Before he came, his word and the promise barred people from being punished. How much more today? Do you know that even Paul's persecutions, he had a choice. In Acts 26:19, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. That means he chose to. He chose to. So it's not, you know, and I remember having to deal with some of these reformists. And they'll be quoting some scriptures by Paul, saying, Christians, they say everything is well. Everything is well. But Paul talked about persecution. Paul talked about being distressed, being perplexed, being pressed on every side. I said, you can never experience that. I said, why? You leave your house in Bagada, you go to Ikoyi for work, you come back at night. You go to church on Sunday. How are you distressed? Paul went on the field. He's talking about things you face when you go to preach the gospel. You don't preach. You just argue who is saved and who is not saved all over the place. You are the person even distressing others. The guy kept quiet. It's not about you. That was why Peter said, if any suffer, let him not suffer as an evildoer or a busybody. Do you understand? Ah, the sufferings and of the scripture of the new covenant or the sufferings of the epistles is sufferings for preaching the gospel. Opposition towards believers. It's not mosquito. It's not virus. Bacteria. No, those are not the people persecuting you against the gospel. Do you understand? Wrong thinking. Let me repeat what I said. Don't say, well, how many boyfriends did I even have now? Hey! Hey! And I want to marry. Hey! Hey! Some people say, is there something called soul tie? That when somebody sleeps, I don't know how they study those things. They say that then there are five people that sleep with somebody. I say, are you okay? Number one is not logical. Number two is look stupid. Do you understand? It's not their fault, it's your fault. You went there. You know, you don't know what somebody is saying if you don't listen to him. You are listening now. Some things I don't. There are some types of books. Don't bother reading it. Prepare for war. Do you want to prepare for war? And you took it.
prepare for war. You will drop it and war will start. Do you understand? Healing is mine. God is ready all the time. All the time. People that were living in sin in the four gospels, God healed. Those who just came to Peter's shadow, they didn't come to church. They were not in the services. It's Peter's shadows. They got healed. They didn't come to the service, so they now took anchors and aprons to the sick. You are now coming to church. You are thinking, God is saying something. God is not saying anything. It is sickness that is saying something in your body. Your body is hot. God is not the one talking. You are feeling pains. God is not the one talking. Sickness is the one talking. Hallelujah. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You must know that God is ever ready to heal your sickness and disease. Ever ready. Even when you commit some of the damnest things. You say, that one involves blood. Then what do? We offer our animal. Do you understand? There was a service I attended. Oh my God. I was to preach. It was a workers' training. So I was to preach for this particular denomination. Now we're calling ladies out. If you know that, you know you have sexual experiences. Blah, 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 blah. Come out. And they were calling them. There are some very stupid guys like that. They were counselors. You now tell them. I just screamed. You know. But they didn't really hear me. But they were not paying attention. I said, what is this nonsense? And they just listen now. It's not their fault. It is your fault. It is your fault. Even Catholics, they go alone to the Reverend Father. They don't open the box to see themselves. You know what James said? Confess your faults one to another. Tell me your own faults. And I tell you my own. This is how James said it. Nonsense. Nonsense. There is no pre-qualification to be healed. Just let there be a healer. And believe and receive. And you know there's a healer. He's been with us 2,000 years. Plus, hallelujah. He walks with us. He walks in us. We receive his healing ministry in our lives. In our bodies. And for others. Hallelujah. And let's just bless his name. Thank you.